I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7, and verse 13. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love.
It's really good to see everyone here this morning. I was reading an article this week about a couple in Nashville, Tennessee. And their names were Scott and Kim, and they were invited to volunteer at what the church called the Bridge Ministry. This ministry had been in operation for about 13 years and administered to the homeless under the Jefferson Street Bridge. Scott said that, you know, it's easy to look through and around this sector of society. But then I remember Jesus saying, they will know you by your love. He said that he and his girlfriend Kim were at their happiest and most fulfilled by listening, serving, hugging, and praying for and with these special people. By Christmas of that year, they were engaged to be married, and they had prayed and asked God for the timing and the place and the details of their wedding. The city of Nashville has plenty of venues available for the wedding. There were a number of Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays that were open. But that's not what they were led to do. After a lot of prayer, they decided on a Tuesday. But not only just a Tuesday night, but a wedding under the Jefferson Street Bridge. Their guest would be the homeless that they served each Tuesday evening. Now you got to admit, that's a destination wedding. A wedding shared with special guests, guests that more than likely Jesus would have invited. The poor, the crippled, the blind, the homeless. On May 9th of 2017, Scott and Kim and their fellow church members, along with more than 200 of their homeless friends, gathered for an amazing meal and a wedding ceremony. Not a single person was left unmoved or unchanged because of the love that filled each heart. This young couple's love ran over. It spilled out into the heart of each and every homeless person there. And it gave them a sure sign that they were loved by God, by Kim and Scott, and by the church. There are two verses that contain some character traits that belong to Christ, that when they are applied to our daily lives, we will experience a life that is good, abundant, and far above the ordinary. The first one is found in 2 Peter 1 and verse 10. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fail. The second is written by Paul in Galatians chapter 5 in verses 22 through 23, where Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Paul reminds us in this chapter that we are not to be prompted by the desires of the world, but by the fruit of the Spirit, which is God's Spirit, which is Christ's Spirit. And those spirits dwell in us. There's another scripture that we need to become familiar with. It's found in 1 John chapter 4. It's kind of lengthy. I wanted to read it all, starting in verse 7 and going down through verse 21. John writes, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. And anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this love of God, in this the love of God has made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God loved us, so we ought to also love one another. No one has ever seen God. And if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son in to be the Savior of the world. And whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, 'I love God,' but hates his brother whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother." What is love? I don't think there's any more complex word than love. We talk about loving pizza, loving apple pie, country, mother, God. We talk about falling in love. We talk about lost loves. Writer Mark Jones said that love is like the chicken pox. Everyone catches it sometime. Our human hearts are desperate for love. It is the oxygen for our souls. It brings a lifetime of blessings. And we never want to think of life without it. We find the word love over 560 times in the Bible. There are four types in the Greek language that speak of love: storge, which is empathy; philo, which is friends; eros, a romantic love; and the love that we'll focus on this morning, agape, unconditional love. The biblical narrative is about God's unconditional and relentless love for us. Forgiveness, God's presence in our life, our eternal salvation, is all about love. God loving us, our response by loving him, and our love that we have for one another. Love is the foundation for everything good, and it is the motive for the way we live. Agape, this special kind of love. This is a love that is not a feeling or a sensation. This is a love that wears work gloves. It handles the everyday nuts and bolts of life. It hugs the hurting. It feeds the hungry. It tends to the sick. It visits the lonely. It comforts the sorrowful. It touches the untouchable, and it puts up with the insufferable. And Jesus came bringing this kind of love. Agape is a love of the will. It is a decision. It seeks nothing in return. It loves regardless of the behavior of the recipient. It has the power to move us toward another without any expectation. Agape love is not self-centered. It is others-centered. It is unconditional. It is divine love. It is the love that God has for us. And we are commanded to love. Not just any love, but agape love. A teenager was once asked what she thought love was. And she said that love is a feeling you feel. It is a feeling that you have never felt before. But here it is. Love is not a feeling. A feeling is something that happens to us. It is oftentimes brought on by circumstances beyond our control. But biblical love is not just a feeling. It is a command. In John chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus said to his apostles, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another." And in verse 35, he added, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." The love used in those two verses is agape love. How do we know if we have agape love for one another? It's not because we have feelings for one another, because it is not a feeling. Love, agape love, is a doing. It's about the love that we do for others. It is a verb. Revelations 2 and verse 4, Jesus writing to the church at Ephesus. In verse 4, he said, "This I have against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first." And then in the very next verse, he tells them how to get it back. He says, "Remember, therefore, where you have fallen. Repent. Do the works you did at first." You see, love is a behavior. And this is what we see in the love chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, is not rude, is not self-seeking, is not easily angered. Love keeps no record of wrongs. It never delights in evil but rejoices with the truth. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And it's interesting because in the very first verse of the next chapter, Paul writes, "Pursue love." This command is not open to more than one interpretation. We are called to love. And the love that Jesus commands is a behavior. Agape love is a gift from God that automatically results in evangelism. Look at Romans 5 and verse 5. Listen to what Paul has to say. "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." The desire to love, the capacity to love, this special type of love is a gift from God. It is something that He has poured into our hearts. But with this gift comes an obligation. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7, it plainly says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." God has given us the capacity to love. He has commanded us to use that gift. Henry Drummond, a gospel preacher, had a classic sermon that he gave on love. And he illustrated love this way. When a magnet is attached to a piece of steel and it is left there for a period of time, the piece of steel also becomes a magnet. When we stay attached to Christ, when we walk in step with the Holy Spirit, when we add Peter's Christian graces to our lives, the love of Christ passes through us into others. We become magnets for God and draw others to Christ. Agape love is evangelism. It is drawing others to Christ. Without this kind of love, there can be no genuine evangelism. Sure, we might be able to share the gospel with somebody without agape love. But eventually, those we're sharing with are going to see through the facade. They're going to wonder where the love is. This type of evangelism, this agape love evangelism, must be of the proper attitude. It must always be authentic, or otherwise it's not agape love. Let's look at some motive of the scriptures. 1 Peter 1 and verse 22. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, one love one another earnestly from a pure heart. 1 John 3, verses 17 and 18. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Then 1 Timothy 1 and verse 5. The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart, and a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Genuine agape love always comes with a pure motive and the right motive. What will help us to practice that agape love? I want to offer this morning four quick things that we must be willing to do. First is we must reflect on God's love for us. And I'll give you these two scriptures. First, John 3, verse 16. And then chapter 4 and verse 11. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay our life down for our brothers. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And we have 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died. Second, we need to pray for a greater love. Philippians 1 and verse 9. Paul said, this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more. Friends, God is love. And if we are filled with love, we are filled with God. And if love lives in us, God lives in us. If we don't have love, we don't have God. Are we asking God to help us have a greater love for others? All others? Or are we trying to excuse the way we feel towards someone around us? Three, we must not be afraid to take the risk. To love others, that agape love, we must be willing to be wounded. To love others is to be vulnerable. Jesus said that we are to love even our enemies. Are we willing to do that? Are we conforming to the ways of the world? Or are we loving like Christ? And in this, we need to be really honest with ourselves. Loving others, all others, means that we must take the risk. In the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, I'll use that chapter. In verses 43 through 45, Jesus said, "You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes the sun to shine on the evil and the good. He sends the rain on the just and the unjust." And finally, living in love means that we must practice every day. Many years ago, me and my brother were in the third grade, we finally hounded our parents long enough they bought us instruments to play. And I chose a clarinet, my brother chose the saxophone. And during that time in life, you know, when your parents are bringing home a paycheck of maybe $75 a week, the cost of an instrument was pretty expensive, even a used one. We had to promise, though, that we practice every day. Lord, how I wished I didn't make that promise. 7 days a week. 30 minutes each of us by ourselves, and then 15 minutes together we had to practice. We became pretty accomplished because of that. If we practice our love every day, we will become accomplished. You know, sometimes we think we have to do something great in the Lord's kingdom, and we search for a lifetime trying to find what that is. Friends, it's a daily, moment-to-moment love that we show others that count. Think of it this way. Instead of giving $1,000 to the Lord, break that $1,000 down into quarters. And then spend 25 cents of love daily. Small things. Hug the hurting. Feed the hungry. Tend to the sick. Visit the lonely. Comfort the sorrowful. Touch the untouchable. Put up with the insufferable. When we do that, and we do it daily, we don't have to think about loving others, regardless of who they are. It will just be natural. It'll be just like breathing. Paul wrote that we are to let all that we do be done in love. All that we do. we cannot find anywhere in the Bible of a greater love than God sending His Son to this earth for the expressed reason to die for each and every one of us. I would never send my Son to die for an evil world. It would be unthinkable, I think, for any of us. But God had no second thoughts. From the very beginning, He had this plan in effect. And at that proper time, in history, God sent His Son. And He died for each and every one of us because of that agape love that He had for us. How do we repay that love? If we're not a Christian, we repay that love by giving Him our life to change it. Through repentance and confession and New Testament baptism, you can show your love to God by telling Him that you want to be His child and obedient to Him. And then you take the rest of your life and give it to Him and do your very best to repay that love. You'll never get it paid. We cannot even pay back God in installments because it will never reach the end where we will get a clear title. But at the end of time, when He sends His Son back, we will have that slip of paper in our hands, just figuratively speaking, that grants us entrance into the kingdom of God in heaven forever. If you are a child of God and you realize that the love that you have in your heart has not even been close to being perfected, if you come to Him this moment in repentance, and make a concerted effort to change, God will forgive you. If there's any that has a need, respond to this invitation. Won't you come as together we stand and we sing?